Our scripture reading this morning is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through chapter 2, verse 5. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 1128. If you're using a large print, you'll find it on page 1770. And today I'm going to pray before the reading of the scripture. Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the blessing of the Word, for its inspiration, and for its power, for its truth. Lord, we pray for a movement of God, that God the Holy Spirit would operate within us, that we would be compelled to belief, to faith. Lord, we know without the Holy Spirit that there can be no true conviction, there can be no true comfort, no true compassion. Let us not depend on the ways of men, but on the power of God. Lord, we ask that you bless this time in your word, that the people would have expectant hearts, that they would expect for something to happen. And Lord, may you bless in this. May this preacher not get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Starting with 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Advent is about waiting expectantly. The Jews had waited for the Messiah for hundreds of years, and we are waiting for Jesus' second coming until when? Only our Father knows, right? We deliberately try to create an atmosphere that is filled with anticipation and expectation. When you came to church this morning, did you have any expectations? Did you expect to experience the presence of God? Did you expect to share the blessing of fellowship? Did you expect to learn more about the Almighty and Holy Lord? Now, I ask how many of you have been working on the sermon questions in the bulletin. They're on page 5. This is the third week we've been in the scripture, the third week that these questions have been in the bulletin. I didn't change them because they are more in-depth than the questions usually in here. And I don't put them in here just as an exercise for Hannah to get in the bulletin. These are for you, for the building up of the faith, the edification. Today we're going to explore these questions. What about righteousness? What does that mean? And what about sanctification and redemption? And what is true wisdom? You see, I have expectations too. As we demonstrated, God is the primary actor, the primary agent, the primary force. And still, we are to be readied vessels, prepared to receive the blessings. Now, obviously, it would be foolish for me to show up each Sunday morning to preach without having prepared during the week. Although some of you might think that's what happens. That's not the way it is, right? It would be foolish for me to do that. Likewise, each person in the congregation must also do the hard work of heart work. Did you get that? You must each do the hard work of heart work. We're not supposed to be passive about this. There's not some magic that happens. We partner with our God. Isaac Watts was a minister and a prolific hymn writer. This hymn he entitled, Christ Our Wisdom, which is the name, God's gift of wisdom is the name of this message. Buried in shadows of the night, we lie till Christ restores the light. Wisdom descends to heal the blind and chase the darkness of the mind. Our guilty souls are drowned in tears till his atoning blood appears. Then we awake from deep distress and sing, the Lord our righteousness. Our very frame is mixed with sin. His spirit makes our natures clean, such virtues from his suffering flow. At once to cleanse and pardon too, Jesus beholds where Satan reigns, binding his slaves in heavy chains. He sets the prisoners free and breaks the iron bondage from our necks. Poor helpless worms in thee possess grace, wisdom, power, and righteousness. Thou art our mighty all, and we give our whole selves, O Lord, to thee. This is our key verse for today. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Now the pronoun him here refers to God. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus says in John 6:44, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And in John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through me, says Jesus. So give God the glory. Give God the credit. If you are in Christ, you have been born again. You have been born from above, born of water and spirit. For in him we move and live and have our being. Again, in John 17:20, Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone, not for the disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. This is speaking about us, future believers. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, these next words of Jesus integrate the concept of being in Christ Jesus with knowledge of God. They serve as an excellent transition to the wisdom of God. John 17, starting in verse 6, Jesus says, I have revealed you to those to whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Before we get into the particulars, let us first address some generalities about wisdom. You can see by the highlights of the word wisdom in this portion of scripture that was led this morning that Paul goes to great lengths to compare and contrast human wisdom and divine wisdom. I know you probably can't read all of that. That's why I highlighted the word wisdom in there, so you can see that it is the central point in much of the scripture. There is a significant difference in the content, in the depth, in the breadth, in the effectiveness, in the truth of God's wisdom in comparison to human wisdom. Now it has almost become cliche, but God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So these are the highlights that you can see. How prominent the word wisdom is. Sometimes when you can see it like that, it helps you to realize the truth of it better than just hearing about it. The difference between human wisdom and divine wisdom is as different as heaven is from earth. Now, a paradox is a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that when investigated or explained, may prove to be well-founded or true. Because of the limitations of the human mind and its construction, because of the limitations in the human mind because of sin, many demands, commands, and doctrines of God seem like foolishness to the person not in Christ. Even many baby Christians struggle with the great truths of Scripture until they give up spiritual milk for the substantial meat of their faith. This is why Paul declares to know nothing but Christ Jesus and him crucified. The paradox of God becoming man and dying for the sins of fallen creation makes no logical sense to the unenlightened intellect of those that are perishing. The triumph of the cross is the paradox of all paradoxes. Now, in other English translations, wisdom is listed as the first in the list, followed by righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, I believe that our New International Version, which is what we just read, has it correct in this case because it fits so well with the paradoxical relationship of human and divine wisdom. In the New International Version, it is saying that wisdom that comes from being in Christ is a composite that includes righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Now, at the same time, the NIV, the New International Version, is not quite as accurate as other translations by using holiness instead of sanctification, but we'll get into that in a minute. Wisdom is generally considered to be applying experience, knowledge, and good judgment. It is more than just information or data or facts or even truth. Wisdom is an understanding of a situation and the underlying reality with all the implications. Godly wisdom includes common sense, compassion, and virtue. Almighty God exceeds human capacity in every aspect of intellectual acuity. Indeed, being perfect in every way, the mind of Christ actually will give us insight into a different realm. There are no hindrances like self-deception, sin, or limitations in divine wisdom. There is no prejudice or self-centeredness to divert divine wisdom. The wisdom from being in Christ gives us the capacity to know our Heavenly Father and the things of God. Jesus is the exact representation of the invisible God. If we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. If we are in Jesus, we have God the Holy Spirit to guide us. From Him, we learn to choose, to reject, to pursue, and even to enjoy in daily life. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, verse 27, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." He makes us wise unto salvation. The closer our union with our Savior, the wiser we will become. He opens the eyes of our understanding and leads us into all truth. The things of God are spiritually discerned, and we have that Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, when we are in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ means that we have Christ's righteousness. In our natural state, we are fallen and sinful creatures like our original parents, Adam and Eve. They were unable to obey one law, and we share that inheritance. Isaiah tells us that all of our righteousness is filthy rags to God. Jesus tells us that there is none that are good. No, not one, but God. And Paul tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we are in Christ Jesus, He is our representative. Now we will address His Redeemer role in a minute, but He satisfied the claims of divine justice. His righteousness is perfect and complete. It is accepted by God the Father and has justifying efficacy. Jesus took on our sin, and in return, we get to take on His robe of righteousness. When our God looks at us, it's as if He is seeing the righteousness of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus. Now, the fancy term for Christ's righteousness is that it is imputed to us. This righteousness is a state of being. It is an accomplished fact. This righteousness is how we stand justified before the Almighty. On the other hand, sanctification is an ongoing process. Holiness is a major portion of sanctification, but sanctification speaks more accurately and more fully about what is happening with believers' hearts and lives. God, the Holy Spirit, is given dominion over our lives. We listen, we submit, and our union with Christ Jesus is enhanced. Sanctification includes being set apart. It includes being consecrated. Because we are in Christ Jesus, it becomes natural for us to walk in all holy obedience to the will of God. We must embrace the reality that we are new creations in Christ. The old self has passed away. Whatever remains of the old nature, it must be crucified. Remember, we have died to sin, but we are alive to Christ. By attending to the ordinances of our faith and the sacraments, we activate those channels of grace that facilitate sanctification. When we worship God corporately, like we're doing now, and privately, when we study God's word, when we spend time in relationship communication, which we call prayer, when we celebrate fellowship with other believers, when we perform acts of mercy by blessing others, when we acknowledge our dependence on the Lord and feed the attitude of gratitude. And when we participate in Holy Communion, we are being sanctified. One preacher described sanctification as justification realized. As we get closer and closer to the image of Jesus, the old self resists sanctification, as does the world, as does our enemy, Satan. You know you are progressing when you hate the sin you see in yourself. It grieves you because you know it grieves God. We feel the censure of crucifying Christ again. On the flip side, holiness appeals to us like the perfume of a divine orchid. It is not just about being a reformed sinner. It is not just about being a moral person. It is a transformation by the renewing of our minds. It is a dedication of ourselves to the service and glory of God. Now, there's more to be said, but let's move on to redemption. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. For he, Jesus, rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty ways of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world. But what was revealed in these last times, he was revealed in these last times for your sake. Now some ask why redemption was listed last here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, instead of first, because Jesus paying our price on the cross that even makes possible being in Christ should have been first. That's a good question. But our redemption is not completely realized, and it won't be until the second advent of the Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. When this happens, we will receive our glorified bodies, and we will be fully redeemed then, along with all of creation. If you are in Christ, you have this wisdom given of God. Your world, your reality has been transformed. This is the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Over and over in Scripture, we are told that the Lord's blessings are to be passed through us, his vessels of grace. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord. If you are in Christ Jesus, he has become for us wisdom from God. Receive your gift with joy. Use your gift of wisdom from God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We pray that hearts were moved by the Holy Spirit in spite of the ineptitude of the preacher. We pray, Lord, that lives would become sanctified, that we would be a source of light and salt in this community, that out of us would flow rivers of living water, God the Holy Spirit, that we would be a blessing wherever you place us. Lord, our hearts break for those that don't know you. And we ask humbly for you to use us to share our Savior. It's in his name that I pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.